We are in Daniel chapter 2. It may seem like a long study, but I'm giving you short bites if you remember. And we're going to be starting in verse 36. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, this is your word. I am your servant, and it is your servants who are listening. And so, God, through all of this, we want to be able to see you, to know what you have for us today, to understand what you did in Daniel's time and what you were doing in our time, God. Reveal what you are doing in the earth today to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be starting in verse 36 in Daniel chapter 2. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So Daniel explains to him. He's told him his dream. He's given him the image and each precious metal all the way down to the toes. Daniel has told him all of this. And so now he's giving him the interpretation. But after you shall rise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. The kingdom of iron is a ruthless, I mean, it is the most ruthless, heartless kingdom. Just going about like a wild animal set loose in a china shop. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it. It is an end time prophecy of the ten kingdoms. And there's going to be 10 different rulers. They're all going to be together. There's going to be just such a viciousness. But it's going to be fragile because of the people. The people, because iron and clay do not mix. And so there is the people who bring in the fragileness of it. Just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere. That's demonic rule mixing with the rule of men. Mixing with men. But they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Remember that. That's what this is showing us. This is where our hope is. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. This is not a kingdom that's passed on and on and on and on. God rules his kingdom. And it does not go to another. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. This is one of the most incredible scriptures in the Bible. Daniel tells the king the dream in verses 31 through 35. Daniel now gives the interpretation. King Nebuchadnezzar's gold. I want you to look at Daniel's words to this king who has just ordered the killing of those who could not answer him. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. He has given all life into your hands and has made you a ruler over them. Gold, absolute monarchy. There has not been a kingdom as this since. And it was a 66-year rule for Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to understand that Daniel stood before this man who could have ordered his death at that very moment. And he says that, "For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom." He's telling Nebuchadnezzar, this kingdom, the power, the strength, and all the glory, that was from God. But he's given that to you. You're the head of gold. Next, he tells him, as he continues to interpret it, the silver kingdom, which is 200 years. It's inferior to gold. It's the Medo-Persian. Going from absolute monarchy to a government where a small number of people hold all this political power. They were equal to the king in all but of the office. Okay? So third inferior is brass. It's Greece. 185-year rule. Alexander the Great, conquering always, dying at the age of 32, leaving his empire to be divided by his four generals. Fourth inferior kingdom is the irons, the Roman Empire, 500 years. Iron breaks and shatters everything. It just, they pick up a piece of iron to smash and destroy. That's all I can think of, is someone who is completely out of control and wanting to have things their way, and they have this iron rod and they're smashing everything in their path until all things submit to them. The emperor and the senate, it was a republic. They were cruel, ruthless, crushing everything that stood in their way and anyone. No thought for human life, believing themselves to be little g God. In the Roman culture, this is a little bunny trail, but I just wanted to just tell you how ruthless they were. In the Roman culture, their wife gave birth to a child, and they didn't want that child. They would just take it out and slam its head into the ground or on the marble or whatever. There was no thought to human life. That's just beyond me. You can read about that in history books. The Iron Kingdom was a great destroyer. In verse 41, the feet and toes, he explains that the iron and the clay, demonic, mingle with the seed of men, but they cannot adhere to one another. Iron, division with the character of Rome, strength, at the same time clay, it was fragile. Iron and clay do not mix. The last days when the Antichrist comes. Now here is your hope, Daniel's hope, the hope for all who have come before us, reading Daniel, and who come after us. This is our hope. In the days, in verse 44, in the days of the 10 kings, God sets up his kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, which shall never be conquered, which shall never be left to another. God will rule forever and ever. God will break and consume all kingdoms, and it will be his kingdom that shall stand forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Those who had come before will be forgotten forever. Verse 45, God gives the pagan king a prophetic word concerning all of history. Incredible. I know I'm saying this a lot. I don't know if you've thought about this, but this is incredible what God is showing. He gave Nebuchadnezzar this dream. He knew that it was important, but he could not understand it. God had his man there. More than I'm sure he was thinking about. Listen, when Nebuchadnezzar was thinking, I don't think he was thinking all the way through to eternity. He was thinking about his future and the future for his sons. And God just takes it even further. I'm sure that this was not what he was thinking of. This was given for God's people. Do you understand? This was for the people of God who had been taken captive, who felt like they had no hope, who were living in this pagan land. Their temple and their home was back in Israel. They knew what God had promised them. They knew the promises of God. And they knew why they were there. God never leaves nor forsakes his people. and they turn to Him and they seek Him with all their heart, God is a God of restoration. God is a God of hope. This is given for God's people. This dream is for us today because it concerns what is to come. See, these other kingdoms have come and gone, but the 10 toes haven't come. They're in the process of it. And the rock that's going to destroy it, that is our Lord and our Savior. The servant of God was given the interpretation. The king had it recorded in Babylonian records. God has recorded it by His servant here, recorded for all to read. But the wisdom to understand comes from God. How marvelous and glorious is our God. Folks, don't grow faint in these days. If you listen to the news, if you listen to those who are always trying to show you how the Bible is interpreting the times that we are living in, those things that I'm not telling you not to. I'm just telling you when you do, you've got to be able to understand who is in control. Man is going to do things. Man has his own designs. Wicked man without God, there is no limit to the deprivation of his soul and his thoughts and what he will do to his fellow man. Satan hates you. You cannot be his friend. You cannot be his friend. You cannot serve him, because even in serving him, he hates you. His whole desire is for your destruction. He hates God. And so he is doing everything, motivating those who will follow him. And if you listen to that, you cannot lift your head. You cannot come out of the doors. You can't even get out of bed, for you have no hope. But you have to look to God, who is on the throne, who is in control. God's timing is not our timing. God is working in all things. He has a perfect timing. He has an appointed time for everything. There is an appointed time. The appointed time for us to be born and that we are living in, this is the appointed time for us. This is our Daniel time to give God the glory, to have an answer in this season of the world. We do not want to grow faint in these days. We live, for he has already told us he is in control. This dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Let's read verses 46 through 49 as we finish up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are their Babylonian names, over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. I want you to understand that finally, here, the king is so overcome with Daniel that he was able to tell the dream, and the king knew what his dream was, and what he had asked for was told to him, and what he wanted most was understanding, and Daniel provided it as well. Daniel was able to come and tell the king his dream in front of the whole court, in front of the king. And when he was finished telling him his dream, he gave him the interpretation. And I just won't even get into all of those things, but I do not believe that the king was bowing down to worship Daniel. It was just a way to pay honor to Daniel. Because Daniel would not receive worship. He would not have done that. That is not within his character. And that is, God would not call him his beloved if he was receiving worship. God allows his servants to be honored because it honors God. And so God gave him great honor in the fact that he revealed the dream to him. And Daniel turned around and gave it all back to God. And so this king comes in honor of Daniel's God. He is bowing to Daniel's God. But his way, it's his way of giving honor. King Nebuchadnezzar honored Daniel's God in this revelation. He never renounces the multitude. I've heard some people say that he gets saved here. There's nothing here. There is nothing throughout this scripture of this man's life to indicate that he got saved. He just acknowledged Daniel's God is all. But remember, he had a multitude, multitudes of gods in Babylon with a little g. And he keeps his word in giving gifts to Daniel and promoting him. Daniel becomes a ruler. I'm sure that Joseph's life is also in his mind. This has to be brought to his remembrance when all of this is happening. And Daniel has to be thinking about the life of Joseph, that Joseph did not dishonor God through all things, but he was a help to his people. And Daniel has to know that God is putting him there to be a help to his people. Daniel becomes a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men who would have died. And listen, these people, they never forget. Satan keeps poking that sore spot in them that what they could not do, this Jewish eunuch Daniel could do. And we'll see how they want to repay Daniel later on. God has put Daniel in the highest place in this kingdom next to King Nebuchadnezzar. God has given him a place of authority to help God's people. When God elevates you to a place, it is to help his people. Daniel requests his friends who prayed also. Daniel knew he did not do this alone. He was there praying on his knees and his friends were praying. And God answered it. God revealed it to Daniel. God couldn't have all four men speaking at the same time, but he could have all four men praying at the same time. He asked that they also have ruling offices, and the king honored that. But the king put Daniel in the gate. In other words, Daniel, you make all the Supreme Court case rulings at the gate, at the entrance. Daniel was put in a place of authority. And when Daniel went to that place of authority, he put his three friends in places of authority. When Joseph was put in a place of authority, when the time came in God's perfect timing, Joseph preserved his family. The line that Daniel would come through, the line of Judah was preserved because of Joseph. And Daniel was put in that place that the Jewish people would survive. The Messiah would come forth. Amen. Amen.